Three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the strolling, go to the TLNTS.org. And I see channels of LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Yeah, welcome to episode 862 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Pat.
Happy summer.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
I'm here.
And Joe, before we return to the pre-show topic, Joe, I was racking my brain trying to remember what the heck was it that we said. This was perfect for Joel, on the Mintcast show. What was that topic that was brought up?
I don't remember.
I thought it was maybe related to
Well, I can bring up the show notes again.
I just had them up a minute ago.
My exploration and learning of Git has taken off a little bit. We finally got sign-ins to our company's Git repository, and we all created in our little training thing we had earlier. Monday was when we did it. We set up our own Git repository on our company's server. We each have our own. We also have a shared one, but I set that up both in from a Git Bash on Windows, or the GitHub graphical client also works just plain old Git, which is what we're using. So, I had a PowerShell script I wrote that did a backup of a directory that I already wrote. I uploaded that into that and played around with it, edited it, updated it. To push all that stuff, so that Git I've got a good hold of right now. We just got our Jenkins logins too.
Was it Redshift or Ventoy multi USB?
Maybe.
No, man. I thought it was. It wasn't Jenkins, and it.
Well, we have. Actually, I do have a question. It's related to that. Have you ever heard of Cloudable? Cloudable.
Cloudable? I think I have.
Yeah, that's what we're using for our GitOps. So, that's kind of what we're doing. We're starting our automations of our clients' machines with. So I think some of the things we probably will start working on is AWS modernizations to build new hosts and to install things on those hosts like Tomcat, and we're going with Amazon Credo Java, which is the Amazon's version of OpenJDK, by the way, if you didn't know that.
Is that cloudable.ca?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't learned enough yet. So we're all kind of we have a weekly was it today or yesterday? I think it was yesterday. We have a weekly a work session, which has really been focused a lot on one of our other ERP solutions, Banner, which they use Oracle for a lot of their database backend. We do not, but that is kind of, I'm learning Git, and I'm getting it, man. I'm getting Git. It's not hard. It's just different.
Yeah, no, I just, I like it. It's pretty good.
It works pretty well.
You could do some good, cool stuff with it.
Back to the pre-show talk. We're talking about Raspberry Pis. Now, I don't think any of us have a 8-gig Pi 4 yet. I have a 4-gig, and I've been using it I have the... it's actually the official 7-inch LCD screen, although the case, I'm not sure if the case is actually official or not. But it's the panel came in one package, and then the case itself came in another package, and it has a spot for the Pi 4. It has a fan built into it, and the fan plugs into the GPIO ports right on the... on the Pi 4. Now, it will say the cabling situation with that, it actually has a cable. The power supply is a USB-C power supply, but it actually has a Y connector in it, so it splits it with a USB-C that goes to the Pi, and then a micro USB that goes to the LCD. So... and then the power supply itself has a inline switch on the cord, so that's how you turn it off and on. But the touch screen works well. I will say this: I really have not found an interface that I like, so that I can just go touch screen alone yet. So I have a Logitech K400 wireless keyboard that I use with it. That whole thing is not really all that interesting. The interesting thing was, though, is I applied the beta firmware, and I tried booting off of USB, and it worked fairly decently. Although my USB device that I was using was just too slow.
Joel, I know what it is. I know what it was. I didn't know anybody was aware of this, but apparently Southeast Linux Fest this past weekend did a virtual.
Yeah. I remember. We didn't talk about it on a show, but I did see that, and I didn't watch any of it yet.
I got an email, I think it was Thursday night, about it, and I'm like, wait, what? I didn't remember that. And they had, that's it. There's a couple presentations. Automation 101 with Ansible.
Ooh,
and
I
Hitchhiker's
watch that.
Guide to Microservices, Containers, and Kubernetes. So those two were back to back from 1 to 2, and then 2:15 to 3:15. They look pretty good. Might be right up your alley right there. That's what it was.
I'll have to watch the Ansible one. I do know Nixie Pixel was one of the. Was she a keynote or a.
I think she was the keynote.
I kind of gave up on watching any of her stuff. I mean, she hasn't really put much out.
She had some health issues, and pretty much ever since she left Rev3, well, I should say, not left Rev3, ever since Rev3 imploded.
Yeah.
Which is kind of exactly what it did. And you really haven't heard from any, really a lot of the Rev3 stars you really haven't heard of.
Well,
like
She tried to come back a couple of times and would put out like one video or two videos, and then you wouldn't hear from her again for another couple of years.
I think she actually was one of the unlucky people that actually got COVID, if I remember right.
Yeah, I remember seeing something on one of her videos about that.
I'll have to check her channel. I think it was 6 months ago where I dropped her channel from YouTube.
Yeah, when I don't put something out for 6 months, it's kind of useless being there.
Yeah. Well, it had been like a couple of years by that point.
Yep. But anyway, the USB, booting a Pi off of USB 3, once you do the firmware, probably the easiest thing to do is right in within Raspberry Pi OS, you can use the SD card copier. And I use that to copy my, I think I got a 32 gig card. I use that to copy it to the 256 gig USB 3 stick. It's a what is it? Lexar. And it worked, and it actually expanded the root file system past 256. Not past 256, but to 256. So it had the right size of a root. It actually expanded the file system automatically when it booted off the USB, which is kind of nice. So I didn't have to worry about that. But it was just too slow on this Lexar stick. I think if I were to try it again, probably what I would do is get one of those. SanDisk has a 1 terabyte SSD drive. It's a USB 3. I'd get one of those. They're about $200 or $300, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I saw it. I'd have to find the article again. But even with some of your faster hard drives, it doesn't provide that much of an improvement for most things.
Right.
It doesn't really increase your startup speed.
Right.
As an example.
Yeah.
It does increase the speed of, you know, accessing files.
Yes, I would imagine.
Popping up images, popping up videos. And obviously it doesn't impact what a lot of the things you do with the Pi, which is, you know, if you're using it as a desktop, you're accessing things over a network. So obviously it's not going to improve
that.
Right,
or in RAM, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm debating what would be nice is if it actually had a full-on, like, M2 slot on it, which I think I bet you that's coming with an NVMe drive. That has to come at some point.
Yeah.
But, and once that happens, look out, because there are already SBCs that are coming out with that. The Rock Pi actually has that. You can plug an M2 drive directly into a SBC that actually has almost the same form factor as the Pi 4 does.
Yeah, and there's still benefits to using a hard drive over using a micro SD card.
Right.
Now, the performance, if that's what you're going for, it's not really all that much of a gain. But
Hard
drives last longer than micro SD cards. I mean,
this
even your good
true.
Ones have...
True.
They fall apart eventually.
It might. What would be not well. Part of the problem is a lot of the straight up hard drives that are USB 3. Most of them aren't going to be like your 7200 RPM speed demons. So it might be better off to go with the SSD.
You can get an SSD for $20 from Micro Center.
Yep.
And yeah, it's 120 gig, but yeah, it's still gonna do the job. And then you can pick up a $7 USB 3.0 adapter for your SSD, and you're pretty solid.
Yep. But if I were to order a 8 gig version today, I would probably also order a second case so that I can put my existing Pi 4 into that. And I'm specifically, I'm looking at, we talked about it on the pre-show, I'm looking at the Argon 1 case. And the Argon 1 case is basically, what kind of makes it special is that it has a board that you plug into the Pi that moves the connectors that are on the left-hand side of the Pi so that they line up with the USB ports and the Ethernet on the back of the Pi, so that all of your ports are on one side of the Pi.
That's interesting.
And explaining computers, Chris Burnett actually did a video on that not too recently. So, and the nifty thing is the Argon one comes with that board. It comes with a fan. It comes with a heat sink that you can, and everything you need to hook everything together. It has a nice color-coded hole on the top with a magnetic cover for the GPIO pins so that you can access them and attach things to it. And it has a power button on the back of it that will turn on the Pi 4 in the case. The power button is actually kind of fun because it's somewhat software-based. So depending on on what you do, like whether you just single press it or double tap it or do other things, it will do certain things like restart it or reset it or power it off, whatever. So I highly recommend that video from Chris Burnett on explaining computers. He'll talk about that one. Another one he talked about, I'm trying to remember the one with the big massive heatsink. Or maybe it was just the massive heatsink.
The one that is the case that is the giant massive heatsink?
No, I'm trying to remember the name of the one. The other one, he I'm trying to think. I think it had either came with a Alexian case or he 3D printed a case that you could use with this. But basically, it looks like a big CPU cooler that you would expect on a Intel box that's on top of the ARM chip that's on the SoC chip on the Pi 4.
Hmm.
Trying to remember the name of it. The Ice Tower. That's it.
I was going to say something ice, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Ice Tower. So basically has a... And in fact, the fan actually has LEDs built into it as well. It's kind of nifty, but, you know, if you care about that stuff. Kind of gives you the game... You're probably the gamer PC vibe. And I'm right, it does, actually does come with a, its own case. It's similar to, like the Lexian Pivo case. $28 for that one. So if you don't care about fan noise for your Pi, you might like that one.
Is that the tower cooler?
Yeah, I just put it in the case there.
In the where?
In the IRC. I'll put it in Mumble too.
Yeah, Ice Tower Cooler.
Yep, the Ice Tower Cooler. Which looks pretty nifty to me.
Yeah. Makes it look like a little mini desktop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, kind of looking for, if I got, one other thing I might look for case-wise is I have seen there's a few that really actually kind of make it look almost like a Nook.
Hmm, yeah, yeah.
And I think it has the space for a hard drive in it too, and it might have like the USB adapter built into it too. I have to look.
You should just print your own.
That's an idea, but...
With a slot for, you know, an SSD and maybe a USB hub.
I still would seriously think about booting it off of microSD versus the hard drive, though, unless I found a drive that was just screaming fast over the USB 3 port.
Yeah. Get an M.2 drive and convert that to USB 3.0. Maybe you'll get speeds.
It says DIY Pi desktop case.
Yeah, I'm on Thingiverse right now, and they got some cool-looking ones. Ooh, here's one for that ice tower.
How much that run?
That, it, you print it yourself.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Should put these in the chat. Yeah,
there's the one. There's
I'm
the
not
one
logged into the IRC right now.
Well, that's actually really neat.
The one I just put in the Mumble?
X chat.
The Thingiverse one.
I'll have to look at the Thingiverse one.
Yeah, the one you want is $100.
I know, yep.
Make a spool of PLA costs like $25.
I just have to look and see what else that DIY Pi desktop case does. Actually, I see one thing it does, which if it see, oh, it doesn't fit the Pi 4, so never mind. It just says Pi 2 or 3.
That's what Tinkercad's for.
Yeah. Because one of the nice things that if whether you buy it or print it, it would be is if I had it had one that had a standard size HDMI connector on it. So actually, that's a 7-inch one. Never mind. $64.99 Raspberry Pi display, 7-inch capacitive touchscreen, HDMI monitor. It's also only 1024x600, which I don't know what the size of this one is that I have. It's supposed to work with the Pi 4, Pi 3B, Pi 2, Pi 3, or the BeagleBone Black or Banana Pi. Yeah, that one's not horrible. Touchscreen case for it. See, the only thing I don't like about that one is there's nothing that will just hold it up. You know, you have to kind of engineer that into it.
Actually, considering the size, you could use like half the tablet stands on Thingiverse.
Probably, yeah. Or you can just stitch them together with an Tinkercad or something, which is kind of what I did with a couple of things I printed as of late. Between yesterday and last night, I printed off a top and a bottom and a label for a little first aid kit. I just need to get stuff to put in it because we're going to go camping Sunday through Wednesday next week because I'm on vacation next week. So that's one thing I printed lately.
You're on staycation next week?
No, vacation. We're going to go camping for 3 or 4 days. So the only thing I have yet to figure out is, and I don't care, but my wife does, if the shower rooms are open. They may not be. Which means we may have to take a bucket to wash ourselves with.
Probably want to check that first.
Yeah, well.
It's not difficult to build a shower.
No, it's not. You can buy those black bags and hang it from a tree.
I refuse to go camping unless it's got like porcelain facilities.
I'm not sleeping
in a tent ever again if I want to.
I
tried to tell the military
toilet.
The same thing. They didn't agree with me.
Yeah, well,
he had to poop in a latrine.
I had to dig my own hole of shit.
Yeah, see, in Ohio state parks, which we're going to a state park, so it's probably got facilities. I'm just not sure how open all of them are. It's kind of a crapshoot because some of the campgrounds will have flush toilets, some of them have the hole in the ground you shit in. So, I'm gonna do some cooking on the campfire. Got one recipe idea that's got basically take like I assume they're the frozen hash browns, but probably by the time you get to camp.
It's actually pretty easy to build your own toilet too.
It's too easy to do that too, yeah. Just dig a hole.
No.
But
like a one that you can actually sit on. That just takes
a
bucket, some plywood, and some rubber.
3D printed.
Home Depot bucket.
Yep.
But for the fancy ones.
Now, one nifty thing I've got on my wish list, and maybe someday I will buy it, there's a CNC machine for $234 on Amazon right now. It's the CNC 3018 Pro GRBL controlled DIY mini CNC machine, wood router engraver with offline controller.
Yeah, I know that they got one of those 5-in-1 3D printing machines that costs like $600.
Yeah,
does the laser engraving and the cutting and the 3D printing and sounds like a lot of maintenance.
This would be an automatic one where I'd put a folding table out in the garage and that's where it would live. Because I'm not cleaning up all that crap from all over my office if I got one. Of course, and not that much more is the Creality LD002R UV photo curing LCD 3D printer. It's also on my list. It's basically a resin printer, which I really, really want, but I was really afraid to think about ordering it until guess what I found at Sam's Club this past weekend, Dan.
What'd you find?
91% rubbing alcohol. Isopropyl alcohol.
How many did you get?
I got a 2-pack, so I'm good on that for now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to head to Walgreens and see if they picked up any.
Yeah, I'm starting to see things like hand sanitizer, although not the normal brands you're normally used to seeing, like Purell. It's like Soapbox hand sanitizer or Primal hand sanitizer or some weird generic brand you've never heard of sanitizer.
Yeah, I got this stuff from Wegmans by us here. It says it's supposed to smell like orange. I don't know what fucking orange it's smelling like. And then I got this other stuff that's like, I swear to God, it's just like straight vodka. It's like the bottom shelf vodka.
One of the other bottles, I gotta say, I have one bottle I got at Sam's Club that of hand sanitizer that if you look on the label, instead of ethyl alcohol it's normally in it, it's got denatured alcohol in it, and it stinks to high heaven. I will not use it.
Well, I'm keeping it, though. I keep it in the car, but I'm like, I also make sure that it's if I use it, I have it around in case I ever get pulled over, because swear to God, you're drinking.
Yeah, it's like that'll be my last resort one, you know, because it stinks to high heaven. It's like, and then there's some that like a couple like up at I know over at Kroger up front they got these little bottles which are essentially just like 81% rubbing alcohol and that's all it is. So it's like that's basically good for 2 or 3 hand sanitizing sessions and that's it because it kind of pours out uncontrolled.
Well, you don't need that much.
Well, true, but you it's in some cases you can't help it. It just comes out.
And like, all you really need is soap.
True.
Just, yeah.
But that's why I like when I camp. I like to use hand sanitizer quite a bit because it's kind of a pain in the butt to go back and forth to the water spigot. Actually, that makes it reminds me when I pack up the car Sunday. I'm going to grab the when we cleaned out the garage, I found I forgot I even had it, but I had bought camping specific water jugs. So basically when it's not in use, you have the cap, you take the cap off, and you take the spigot and you can put it on the back of the cap. That way, the spigot doesn't stick out the top, you know? So then when you fill it up at the campground, you just flip it. You don't flip the lid over, but you just take the nozzle off the back of the lid and then screw it on the front part of the lid. And then it's basically just a, you know, like a jug full of water. So I need to take that. Last time I didn't. I just, anytime we needed water, I had to run over with the dishwashing tub over to the spigot and get it. At least, and I keep trying to talk to wife. I seriously want to buy, if not an RV, like a towing camper, you know, which I think my Traverse should be able to tow. But like I found somebody had like a 95, I forget even what brand RV it was. It was a gas driven, not a diesel one. But it had like 35,000 miles on it, and the guy won like $8,000 for it. And I thought, ooh, that's not a horrible price for an RV. Had no pop outs. I don't care. I don't need pop outs. If I ever got one.
Winnebago Warrior.
I don't care what anybody says. When you get an RV, it's still camping. Because you can still cook on a campfire.
No, it's just that, like I said, I just refuse to. I refuse to do a tent anymore. I had to do that when I was younger, and I just swore that was like, never going to happen again.
I don't mind it, especially since last time we went, I've got one of them double. I'm trying to think. I think it might actually be a queen size, but it's a double thick air mattress with the pump built into it. The Intex ones. And that's not horrible. It actually is pretty nice. And we always have electric, so we always get the electric site. And I just run a extension cord into the tent. Although what's funny is the wife's like, well, you could take the Keurig. We got electric. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'll take my AeroPress, and we'll make coffee on the camp stove. Should be a little bit nicer down there, because when we were on a lake last summer, the wind coming off of the lake was so bad I could hardly get the water to boil. Or close to the boil, which is really what you want when you're making coffee for the AeroPress. You don't want it, you know, basically you want the water just off the boil. So it's right around, 200, maybe 206 temperature-wise. There's these AeroPress freaks that will like have this magical scale and they measure everything out precisely. I kind of eyeball everything and I still get a good cup out of coffee out of my AeroPress.
I have to measure.
Well, I measure with a scoop, but I don't sit there and weigh it on a scale or anything like that.
No, yeah. Just pour it in until it looks like it's enough.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I do, well, one of these days I would like to get like a hand crank grinder for when I camp, just so that I can grind it at the campsite, which, well, I guess technically I could since I have electric, but I'll probably just pre-grind it and throw it in a Ziploc bag. That'll be good enough.
I forget which hand grinder I have downstairs. I don't use it very much anymore because I have a regular grinder.
Right.
It's really fun to do for a while, but if it's your only way of grinding coffee, it gets boring really fast.
Now, I could, well, probably not in enough time, but there's a company by the name of Wakako, I think is the name of it. They make a mini presso, which basically takes the Nespresso pods, and you pour water into it, and you can make espresso.
It's I can get yourself a Hario for $45.
Yeah. Heroin for $45. That's some
Hario.
H-A-R-I-O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see the one I had. I know I got it off of Amazon a long time ago, but I don't. Oh, it's the Portland, but it's I didn't pay $82 for it. I can tell you that. I know that much. I'm a cheap ass motherfucker, but I ain't gonna, you know, the coffee, but not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that was the Porlex is the one I got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, I know I didn't pay that much money for it. I don't know what the hell that one's made out of.
Yeah, the Mini Presso GR is $48.99, and it's basically, it'll let you make espresso with the Nespresso pods that you can bring from home. Actually, I think they also have one that you can. Yeah, actually, this one also works with the ground coffee too.
So, segueing into the completely unrelated.
Yes.
Doom Patrol season 2, end of this month, June 25th.
Is that on the?
It's on HBO Max and DC streaming.
Okay, I was gonna say it's on the DC streaming, and I don't have either one of those.
Neither do I.
How did you see the first one then?
Magic.
I
really enjoyed the first season.
Oh, it's magic.
I looked up one day and it was on my computer.
How did that happen?
Magic.
Bluetooth or BT.
Is that how it gets on there, from the Bluetooth?
I guess so. Boy, somebody hacked my Bluetooth and put it on my computer.
They do that.
It's somebody got into the tubes.
That's what she said. F is for Families on the latest season just dropped last week too.
Yeah, I watched the first one last night. Pretty good.
It's okay. The first season was so much better than either second season 2 or 3 so far.
Well, like I said, I've only watched the first one, so I can't tell you how the season's going.
I could watch 2 or 3 of them, so. But, yeah, it's interesting what different things that are out there. It's like, when's the last time you watched a regular TV channel?
What's that?
It's been exactly.
Yeah, it's been like a decade.
We have Fubo TV, which we use mostly because my son likes. One of the few sports that are actually still starting to back up has been the PBA.
Hold on,
and they did strike thing and some other event that they did.
Hey, lovely wife, when did we cut the cord? Cable. 10 years ago? Okay. So yeah, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, I think that's
it's been that long for us.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's been probably in somewhere around that area too, because I know it's been at least almost 7, because of my divorce and everything, and I did that before the divorce. Yeah, so maybe close to 10 already.
Maybe that's why she divorced you. No, I'm kidding.
I know we stuck with cable a little longer than we wanted to, but we were doing it because my wife liked ordering the hockey package, and then the hockey package kept halfway through the season turning into the baseball package, so we quit doing it.
You haven't looked back, huh?
Nope.
Do you ever go to a place where they have regular TV? You're watching like, oh my goodness, it's like a commercial every 8 minutes.
Commercials like surprise the hell out of me. It's like, what the heck is this crap?
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's like, it's like now you play the free-to-play video game on your phone, and you order like get more whatever the arbitrary thing is for by watching the video, and you watch the same video
the first
five times in 10 minutes.
The first time one of those videos comes up, you know, maybe. Unless, of course, it's one of those videos where they suddenly decide to crank the volume up on your device to its absolute maximum, so it's you have to be paying attention to it, and then it gets uninstalled.
All depends on the game.
No, it doesn't.
With me. It's not what I've discovered, too, is some of them will... it might work the first two or three times, but then afterwards, you know, it's like their ad network's having issues or whatever. And it's just some of the games, like I've been playing one called Sniper 3D, which is kind of fun. Really, you don't really have to watch any of the videos in it. You know,
until recently, I was playing Raid Shadow Legends.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Why?
Because I'm pretty sure that it's full of ads.
Yeah. But the only ads that are really in it are their own ads. Like, their own constant pop-ups. So every time you, like, go back to the main screen, it's like five more pop-ups for, hey, buy some stuff, make your character better. And then... Most of the game was okay. Now, you know, it's that standard stuff where in the beginning it's really easy. You get to burn through really quick, and as you're leveling, you're getting more energy and stuff, and then you get to a certain point and you just stagnate. And then you find out that the only people that really win in, like, the arena tournaments are the people that have thrown crap tons of money at it and have all of the specialty characters, the gold characters that you just can't get anywhere else.
Yep.
So yeah, it was free to play, but definitely not free to get ahead.
Not free to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's why mobile gaming kind of sucks.
So I uninstalled that from my phone. It only took 6 months, though, so it was a pretty decent game.
Was today the happiest day in your household, Joe?
Well, I'm pretty sure that was day before yesterday.
Because today was the happiest day in my household. Because my daughter got to ride a shark through Chapter 2, Season 3 of Fortnite.
Uh-oh.
And she was just so excited.
What the hell?
Alan's taking off.
Turn your air conditioner off, man.
What was 2 days ago?
That was my son's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to 10. Your son.
They all said happy birthday, JoJo.
Yes, we do.
He said hi. I don't know if you heard him.
How old is he this year?
He's 10.
Oh, boy.
There you go. Yeah. 10. A decade. It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Before long, Alex will be graduating.
One. I got one that's about to turn 18.
Graduating next year?
Yeah, next year.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And you know, I think about, you know, my eldest one, and I still see her as like a 3-year-old with like poofy hair, dandelion like hair. Back when she was cute and adorable.
When now she's mean and nasty, right?
Right now she's a teenager.
Yeah, she's an annoying teenager who thinks she knows it all. Yes. And, hey, Sunday is two things in my household. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to...
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot fathers. About Father's Day. All yeah, the days we're just all blend fathers. Into another.
You know why? It's because usually Mother's Day is still happening when school's still in session and fathers get the shaft.
More or less.
But no, Sunday also happens to be my 23rd wedding anniversary as well.
Well, congratulations, Joel.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir. and we'll be celebrating at the campsite, having
shitting in a bucket.
Hot dogs. First night will probably be hot dogs and whatever else, probably s'mores and
raining in a bucket.
Actually, I don't want it to rain Sunday night. I need to get at least not until I get my tent up. Now, the one thing I do think I need to do before we head down there is I need to grab firewood. Because I'm not sure if the camp store is actually going to be open when we're down there.
Isn't it in the woods?
It is, but generally going in the woods and chopping a tree down for firewood is generally frowned upon.
Every time I've ever done it, I just walk in and pick up the sticks off the ground, right? And I got plenty of...
If nobody else has been camping in the last few months, you go and you pick up the deadwood.
Right, yeah, but... That's always an option to keep the fire going, but it's nice to have a stack just to start it.
But, no, you make a wide turn. You can have some bags of pellets I got here.
Put those sawdust things that fall apart.
Yeah. Exactly, but he's only using for kindling.
Yes. Yeah, Burr Oak State Park is like 75 miles away from the house, so I'm not going that far. We'll be there in about an hour and a half, so if that. It's actually closer to that's. Kind of one of the reasons I went down that direction is I wanted to take Luke to one of the state parks I've been to. That's one I have been to, although the last time I was there, we stayed in a cabin. Now, I priced the cabin out at a couple of the state parks. For 3 days, it was like $500. It's like, no, I'll pay the $25 a night. I think it was $25 a night for the campsite, you know?
Get one of those Rent America RVs.
Ask her, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess I always see them around here. Rent America, I think they're called, or something like that. RV America, or something like that.
They're being a similar price range, probably, actually.
Yeah, but you get a real bathroom.
You won't get a real bathroom at the campground. They got real bathrooms there. No.
You get a real private bathroom.
Well, that much is true. But then whenever you take that morning constitutional, not only do you stink up the bathroom, but you stink up the whole fucking camper. And then everybody wakes up.
Well, you know, tell them to learn how to deal with it. 23 years now, everybody should know about it.
Social distancing at its finest.
Dude, you don't need to worry about it. Just take the bucket. Just like we've been saying, put a bag in it, and then you can just tie it up, throw it over your shoulder.
See, that the one thing I'm gaming on is that there's going to be a bunch
of... Wiggly bag in it or whatever the grocery stores are.
Yeah. Kroger's, Meijer's, and Walmart. Walmart, of course, then there's Whole Paycheck. Which I don't go to.
What?
Or traded.
Whole paycheck.
Whole Foods.
Okay, I got it.
It's the truth, right?
Yeah, no, you got a good point there.
Yeah, well, I actually found out one of my favorite micro roasters for coffee actually sells their coffee there. That'd be the only reason I go in there. And it's actually closer for me to go to their store than it is for me to go to Whole Paycheck. So, now, amazingly enough, Trader Joe's is actually reasonable. I like Trader Joe's a lot. It's just none of them are close to my house. All up on the north side where people have money.
And they don't say kindly to you coming up there, do they? They're like, what you doing here, Joe?
Some of them don't.
Thought we told you to get out of here.
Especially get that riffraff out of there.
I walk in there with a Linux Fest T-shirt in athletic shorts, you know, and flip flops.
My bag over your shoulder. Damn, like, I just came from camping.
Thanks for ruining my brain. I need some eye bleach. There you go.
Okay, Mr. Hawaiian shirt.
Actually, I don't have any more of those.
Alan. Say it ain't so.
I get, you know, they just don't fit, and they were like, you know, even when you guys saw them, they were like 10 years old.
Most of them like are at a point now where like they're disintegrated on top of the on the hangers.
And you never see Alan in a t-shirt ever.
No, I do not like t-shirts.
See, me and Dan, that's like our work uniform, right, Dan?
Every day.
T-shirt.
Oh, no, I sort of envy people who can do like that, you know, who, you know, they pack a bag and they throw four t-shirts in there, and, you know, it's like, you know, you've got a week's worth of clothing with you on that. I just can't do shit like that. I detest the feeling of a t-shirt on me.
I used to be able to pack, you know, just like one small bag and be able to survive for a week. Now I feel like I'm backpacking to go into the office.
It's because you got your laptop, you got your workout gear, you got your sneakers.
Lunch. Yeah.
Everything. I mean, yeah, I'm actually enjoying the fact that I don't go into the office anymore right now just because it's so comfortable to, like, not have to deal with that shit.
Yeah, and all the money I'm saving on gas.
I know, I'm doing, like, one tank a month right now.
And for that Zoom call, all you have on is a shirt.
Why? I go to countless meetings every day because I get stuck in these stupid things. Not a damn person ever has a video camera on. Everyone I know has a video camera. Everyone I know at work has their video camera taped over.
No, yeah, we don't do the video meetings at my work. We just do the audio meetings.
I wish we didn't.
I swear, I used to hate it when I had like 6 hours a day worth of meetings. That was like a bad day of the week for me, and now it's like every day.
You just connected to Zoom without the camera on all day long?
No. It's just phone calls.
Oh. Phone call meetings. We operate connected to Zoom all day long. Sometimes I turn the camera on. Most of the time I have it off because one of the problems with having the camera on is it consumes a bit of bandwidth.
Yeah.
And I like it without it.
Me too. That's my preferred method.
My kid's running around and the dog starts barking.
Did you ever have
that happen, Joel?
My dog starts barking, or
somebody's dog starts barking on Zoom, and it sets my dog off. Next thing you know, you got a chain of dogs barking.
That doesn't usually happen. Now we got several people who will have their cats show their ass on the camera.
Did you guys hear about that? I think it was a DDoS attack of like all the major providers.
Was that recent?
It was like earlier this week, and like what was funny is I never had a problem all day with reception at all.
My T-Mobile just dropped.
Oh, crap the bucket.
I couldn't make a call, couldn't receive a call.
Yeah.
Oh, T-Mobile had problems this week, didn't they?
They did. They just laid off like all the Sprint staff, too, if I remember right.
A bunch of the Sprint staff, yeah.
But no, what's funny is I saw somebody posted that. I saw like Jordan Life posted it too, and I'm like, let me shut my Wi-Fi off on my phone. Yep, no problem. I can get the internet. I can make a phone call. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. that area hit hard. Columbus, no, not so much.
I had to switch to just Wi-Fi and then use my Google Voice number.
Interesting.
So.
I guess I was lucky. No,
yeah,
anything.
In order to be able to attend my meetings, I had to.
Yeah. Alan must have his air conditioner on.
No, I just have a fan in the window.
Now,
I'm enjoying the room while I still can.
Now, fortunately, the guy came out last Thursday, fixed our air conditioner, so I'm actually comfortable. It wasn't covered under the plan I have. For that.
Fancy people with central air, I tell you.
Yeah, but
I have like two air conditioners hooked up to my house.
Well, here's the deal with my essential, though, is the coils inside were clogged, you know, so he cleaned those out. That cost us an extra $150. But when he did that, he discovered that the drip pan was melted. So basically, it's the condensation is just dripping down through the furnace, which is not good. But I figure it's probably been doing that for 4 or 5 years, is my guess. So I'm gonna have to call him tomorrow. I want to find out. Well, because there's one of the problems is you can't just. It's about 20% chance that the company can get a replacement drip pan. All right. So that's one option. If they find that, then hey, that's good. It's gonna cost us what maybe a couple hundred maybe for them to come out and put that in. All right. The other option is they make a drip pan for us that goes in the bottom of the coils and connects up to the drain pipe. All right. Well, I haven't heard anything about that. All right. So if you can't do either of those two, then you have to replace the coils. The coils come with the drip pan. Okay. $1,000. All right. Whole new system. My system's 22 years old. Whole new systems of only 5,000. So it may be new system time. We shall see. And at least that'd be the only one I'd ever have to buy. Because if I get 20 years out of the next one, I'll be good, probably. Because we'll probably be done with the house by then.
I'd love to have central air, but I think the cost would be too high to put it in this house.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, it just depends on how much alteration. Like I know wife did some research and says it could. If you have to do a lot of duct work in the house, you're talking between $10,000 to $15,000, and that's not cheap. So,
yeah, I figure I've done enough in terms of putting stuff in the house with the windows and the doors and everything else.
Right.
I got to recover that's a little actually bit first.
Yeah, we got all the painting done. So everything's done painted. We need to probably next thing we need to do is order the stair nosings and some transitions for the flooring that we just had put in. Downstairs still has that texture sagging a little bit. Plus, I think the drywall is too from where the water leak was. So replace the section of drywall. New texture down there, and then we need doors all throughout the house. And then the other two bathrooms we need to do, and then we'll have a whole new house. and the garage door up front too, eventually. But joys of home ownership. Don't do it if you haven't already.
All right, guys, I'm disappearing early tonight because I'm hearing my name being called downstairs.
Get out of here, you lousy.
He's off of furlough, man.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I don't have to go to bed early, but like I said, I'm hearing my name being called downstairs. So,
do you hear your name?
Daddy! Daddy!
No, he's asleep now, so.
Oh, how's the baby before you go?
Oh, he's doing good.
Happy Father's Day, Alan.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to be eight weeks. On the 23rd, he's 8 weeks.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
He's 2 months old on that. So.
Cool.
Eat, sleep.
Poop.
Shit, basically, yeah.
And fill that diaper full of water.
Oh, yeah, well, that's like, which reminds me, I've got to go do a diaper run this weekend, so. gotta go hit Costco.
Right, have fun, yeah. Man. Stay safe.
See you, Alan.
Anyways, good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Sleep.
Yeah, I know.
I pulled out my Centio Superbook again. Started playing with it a little bit today.
The what?
The Centio Superbook. It's basically the laptop-like device that I can plug my phone into and have Dex, Samsung Dex, work on it.
Oh, wait, you got it?
I've had it, yeah.
Oh, you pulled it out today. Oh, yeah. Oh, this thing. I think I remember you were talking about it.
Yeah, I've had it before.
We had a pretty good conversation about it at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And you broke it out again after how long?
I don't know. 2-3 months, probably.
You used it for the second time.
I wouldn't say use it for a second time, but yeah, I got actually, I don't know if it's the recent firmware updates, but it works pretty reliably now. The one thing I noticed with it, and I noticed this last time too, was certain things like YouTube works fine. I can watch YouTube on its screen, which is actually kind of nice watching YouTube on it. But other things like Netflix or Hulu,
yeah,
or
we talked about that too.
Yep. HTCP production is what it is, the problem. Ironically, though, you'd plug it into the adapter and then plug it into like a TV with a regular HDMI port. It works just fine with Netflix and all that on Dex. So, it's okay, though. You know, it's not that, you know, I'd say most of the time if I watch, like if I watch an episode of The Goldbergs or something on Hulu, I usually end up watching it on the phone itself anyway, or my iPad. So I do have one of those. But we'll see now. Oh yeah, actually, this would be an interesting topic. Although I have to see if it actually came true. There was some rumors tail end of last week that Apple's going to go ARM this week at WWDC.
Did they? Or did that not happen? Yeah, WWDC.
I'm basically thinking that since I haven't seen much on the social webs about it, it probably didn't happen, but... Oh, wait, it's actually not till next week. So okay. The 22nd through the 26th is when that is. And I'm betting it's probably just a virtual event at this point.
Yeah, probably. And
yep, no in-person attendance, it says. But the rumor has it that they're going to have a ARM, they're going to switch the Mac to ARM. Granted, there's been some people pushing that rumor for... I don't know, 3 years now? So we'll see. And we'll see. It'll be
August. We should see another Samsung event.
Mm-hmm.
For the Note line, and that'll probably be the Note 20.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about the Note 20.
I haven't heard too much, except that some rumors are that they're going to have, like, the Note 20, the Note 20 Plus, the Note 20 yep. Ultra. They should all be 5G, and yeah, I don't know. They might be like 6.9 inches instead of 6.8 inches. Which was last year's model.
Right. A little bit bigger. And the images I've been seeing of it is they're going away from the built into the screen thumb reader back to one on the back of the screen.
Yeah, and some people were talking that they might do the embedded camera that doesn't have the...
the hole?
Pinhole. Punch. Yeah. Our hidden camera.
The one image I'm seeing of it now...
squared off edges instead of the rounded yep. edges.
Yeah, that's one. And it looks like, actually, the image I'm looking at now, looks like the camera's hidden in the bezel at the top. It's a no-hole punch, which I'd be fine with. Although I will say, I actually got used to the hole punch.
Yeah, you do.
And it's easy enough on YouTube, which is what I watch the most on it. You basically just pinch it and it resizes down past the hole, so it doesn't block the video. Which is kind of nice. But yeah. I'm not jonesing for a new phone yet. Mine's still a very fast phone. I'm very pleased with it.
Oh, I haven't even paid off my Note 10 yet, so...
Yeah, me either, so...
Guess what, Joe?
What?
You finally got a real phone?
No, after the show this week, after Mintcast, man, I'm like... I'm itching to install OpenSUSE.
Do it.
How about that? Mintcast makes me want to install OpenSUSE.
Well, we did discuss OpenSUSE on there.
Yeah, you know what I wanted to say? Like, people say, you never hear that kind of, discontention coming out of OpenSUSE community. I wanted to say, you know why? Because the OpenSUSE community is just happy they still have a distribution.
Right.
With all the crap that SUSE has had to go through over the years. Holy moly.
Yeah, how many owners? Let's see, they went from Novell to... they're on their own now.
There were two of them after Novell, I think, because they got split apart.
So how did you like being on the Mintcast?
I enjoyed it.
It was a blast.
It was a really good time. I didn't know completely what to expect, and I didn't want to add too much more into like when I saw the notes and it was like 10 minutes for that segment, I didn't realize we could do more than 10 minutes. So I came in there like trying to be prepared to be succinct. And then
I'll fix that on the notes page.
And then Dale was like, he had all this stuff and I didn't want to overstep him. And I didn't want to, like, we were already going like really long and I thought people wanted to wrap it up. So I didn't want to like add belabor stuff. But I had a blast, man. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we loved having you on.
I enjoyed it.
I'd invite Joel, but he freaking talks too much.
There you go. The show would never end. Talk about, it was the fourth person on the meanderings who just kept going on and on. And what was his name, Joe?
That guy.
Yeah, Joe, that guy.
Let me ask you this question, Joe. At what price range would you not fix a pair of headphones? Like, would you fix a $10 pair of headphones?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I'd fix a $2 pair. I have fixed a $2 pair of headphones.
I have too, but not recently.
You know what? I will say this. Statistically speaking, it's a whole hell of a lot easier to keep a $10 pair of headphones put together than it is a $200 pair of headphones.
Why is that?
A $200 pair of headphones, they don't want you working on. So if it's a $200 pair of Bluetooth headphones, they're going to have those electronics set up in the worst way possible for you to work on them.
Okay, now, that makes sense.
A $10 pair of Bluetooth headphones, they don't give a crap. They're easy to work on.
So not being an audiophile and having existed on $10 headphones, like, what's the cheapest I can get that don't go in my ear because I don't like in-ear headphones? Like, really, what separates, say, a $30, $40 pair of headphones from a $200 pair of headphones?
The quality of the drivers, really. Maybe the quality of the construction.
Okay, but is there a noticeable difference when you put them on and listen to stuff?
It depends, really. A decent $10 to $15 pair of headphones is going to sound a lot like a $50 or $60 pair of headphones, but some in the $100 to $200 range sound really good. The Skull Candy Crushers actually have enhanced bass, and they sound really good. They have a bass slider on the outside, and I really like mine, and I know I got them pretty darn cheap, but let's see what they are on Amazon. Base price on Amazon is about $117.
That's so, like $112 more than I want to spend on headphones. But
right.
Continue but on.
I'm saying that's about the range where you could notice some difference in quality.
Okay.
In sound.
Right.
Like the Sony line. There's a lot of the Sony XB line. Now, I like the Sony XB700s, and it's not necessarily because of sound quality with those. It's because of the battery and the USB-C charging, and the sound quality is decent enough. They're better for calls, and they're really good for all-day wear than the Crushers are. Right. But like the XB, not the 550s, the 900 range, they're a bit more expensive. And from what I've read of the reviews, I've never had one in my hand, they're supposed to sound really good.
I like my LGs.
Now, I will say that for in-ears recently, I wanted to get some quality in-ears. Oh, the Sony XB900s, you're looking between new $178 and like $200. Mm-hmm. And then the 1000s are like $250. But for in-ears, you know, I was able to get some of the One More triple drivers that were broken and then modified them to be able to work with my MMCX stuff. And they sound incredible. Much better than any other in-ears that I've owned, including the tin, what was it? Tin audio.
Okay.
MMCX tin audio T2s that I spent $50 on. Those sound pretty good. They're clear and everything. It's just you get a lot more bass and sound quality out of the, triple driver, the One More triple drivers that I got for like $15. But I did get them broken. But now, I did buy the T2s new.
For work, I swear by wireless ones of any kind, either a dongle based ones or a Bluetooth. I have a Vontree. I'm trying to remember the model number.
When I say that I fixed them with the MMCX, right. I mean that I took one of my LG HPSs that had that I'd already done an MMCX fix on,
right,
and then made the wired One More triple drivers into MMCX so that they fit on those LGs, and now they're Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yep. The Vontree AH6B, $89. And the thing I like about them is the microphone boom you can actually completely remove if you don't need it. And it comes with a nice fabric case, too. But that's my Bluetooth ones I use for work. And then the ones I'm using now, which is the Logitech H600s, I think.
Yeah, I guess mine are starting to get expensive with the modifications because I probably paid $5 for the LG HPS, and then $4 for the cable, and then $15 for the One More triple drivers.
Uh-huh.
And then I wanted to get the adapters fast, even though I had to make modifications to the adapters. Right. So the adapters were like $10.
What are you doing?
Now, the one nice thing about my Avantrees is if I get a, in fact, I need to get a triple wire, double ender cable with plugs on both ends, or one with two plugs on one end, one for microphone, one for speaker, and the triple wire on the other end. But I can actually, the Bluetooth ones, I can actually connect the cable to it and use them when the batteries are dead.
You mean four? or Paul?
Yeah, probably right. Yeah.
If it says Mike, it should be Paul.
Yep.
You're better off getting a one of the Y cables, the audio to a female short, and then getting a four cable to four cable male to male.
Yep. I have to look and see what my work laptop supports. It'd be nice to have that as an option in case the Bluetooth, the battery in the Bluetooth goes out, which can happen.
Yeah.
LG Tones. I think it's, I've got the, I'm trying to remember which model. The model of LGs I have charges off of USB-C instead of a micro USB. So they charge a little faster. They charge in probably less than an hour, which is kind of nice.
Well, that was another nice thing about the XB700s is that they have the 30 plus hours of battery life.
Wow. I get about 8 out of mine. Which usually is enough, but so I'll switch back and forth between my Logitech headset and my LG. My LG, like if I'm just sitting there working, I'll have the LG jammed in, listening to podcasts or YouTube stuff while I work. And then I will switch to my, tomorrow morning, I got a meeting first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock. So that's, I'll have the Logitech in first, and then
You got him.
They got him.
Yep.
They get you?
No, I think I just lifted up on the buttons. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But oh, and it's now time to play the Southside Columbus favorite game of the summer. Is it fireworks or is it firearms? Yeah, it could be either in Columbus.
Yeah, well, we're kind of waiting to see who's going to be doing fireworks this year for 4th of July.
Nobody here.
Basically.
I think I need to check, because I know that they were trying to put a law into effect that says that we can go buy our own fireworks and set them off here, which they didn't used to have. It used to be illegal.
Yeah. Well, I don't see why there couldn't still be, like, a display somewhere, open field, and you can park near it.
Yep. Well, that's what I don't understand is why they just didn't with ours. Now, what they're doing, the local news channel is going to do like a 7-day event where they'll have different things on, usually with the military and stuff like that. But what I thought they might have done, which they're not doing, was set them off anyway, just not allow any, just shut down the downtown. But they're not going to do that. So. But I might, if that passes, and I might just take a trip down to Phantom Fireworks and get some, have a redneck firework display in my backyard. Because then at that point it'll be legal and the police won't give a shit.
You know what you do?
Give a shit now.
This is what you do. You take that toilet, the portable toilet, the bucket you're going with. You let that dry out. You light that on fire. Boy, you'll get some pretty flames coming out of that.
And a nice smell.
Yeah, there you go. You keep your neighbors away.
Hey, you can get the full military experience if you just pour some diesel in there with it.
Hey,
one of the early things I ran into on the internet like years ago before podcasts was I found there was at least one or two websites, not with the Anarchist Cookbook, but ones that were talking about how to make your own fireworks. So they'd show you how to buy the different chemicals, what the the different chemicals you need for different colors, and how to make your own stars, and and make your own fireworks. And there's actually been events, like there's an event in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, which is on the opposite side of Pennsylvania that you used to live on there, Dan.
Right.
And they would set off their own fireworks, and like one of the things they'd now sometimes they would just take existing ones, like, and then rig something up. Like one thing I saw on the internet was years ago was where they took pretty much your standard run of the mill crackers, and then they'd open them all up and tie them all together, and then set them all off at once. You know, they
people do that with black hats too.
Yep, and if they actually think that's what they were. So they just had just like I'm talking like 100 foot of them suckers.
Do they still make black cats?
I think so. Black cats and M80s. Although I'll say this: the M80 you buy at the fireworks store today ain't nothing like the M80 you used to be able to buy, which is essentially what, quarter stick of dynamite, I think it was.
Like that.
Yeah.
That was all sparkle.
They still make fire black cats fireworks. Yes.
Yep. My dad always had the thunder strikes or thunder crackers, I think.
What Thundercats were you looking for? I mean, yeah, Thundercats. Black Cats were you looking for?
I was wondering if they still made them.
I mean, the Black Cat Company is still in business, and they make fire cats out fireworks. I'm just not sure which one.
No, the Black
one.
Cats was that they used to come in a line, and you'd get a firework on each side on the in this long line, and then you'd light it and just sound like a machine gun.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm watching the video on their website. Oh no, this isn't what I'm looking for. This is just like the little, they're like little lady fingers, right? Or whatever they were called.
I don't remember what they were called. They were always black cats. That's what I always called them.
They're just a firecracker in a long chain. You let them off, yeah. And they don't like shoot things in the sky, right?
No.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't see them listed on their. Wow, they got a lot of stuff. Maybe
their website. They got the neighbor hater. So new for 2020. Fountain amps up the noise for level for sure. Whistles and crackle will annoy your neighbor.
Okay, I do see a string of firecrackers, but I don't think. Oh, wall art. So it's not actually firecrackers.
The fat cat. Huge shots of titanium gold willows alternate with billowing brocade palms, creating a rich performance with lots of bling. I just like the snakes. Who screw-do's, who screw-don'ts? With or without the scooter stick?
Okay, alright. Yeah, here we go. I think it's just under firecracker. Is it the firecracker? I don't see like what you're talking about. You're right. I remember you used to get them in like a chain. Not a chain, but just like a.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not seeing them online anywhere.
Oh wait, maybe
not on their site.
Okay, I think. I think they're called the flashlight firecrackers. And they come in like a package, and you open them up, and they're like all tied together.
Okay.
Yeah, they're right here. Here you go, Joe.
Yep. I like Roman candles. Those are my favorites.
Oh, the firecracker bricks.
Yep, there you go. Those are fun too.
That's what I'm looking at. I didn't see a brick. Where's the brick?
Hold on. I'm not on their page. Let me...
Yeah, the flashlight firecrackers are the ones that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the bill in Ohio has passed the Ohio House, so it's got to go to the Senate yet and then be signed by the governor. I kind of hope they do that, because if they do that, then I think that's what we're going to do for 4th of July, considering that nobody's doing displays this year, nobody at all.
Yeah, I do remember that long package that's on the left there. But then the brick probably is the same thing, just, you know, more of them in one package.
Now, when I was a kid, I remember we used to pilfer firecrackers off my dad. And we'd take them and we'd light them and then stuff it in one of those plastic pop bottles and then run. Because you don't want to be near that when it goes off. The plastic shrapnel hurts. 50 crackers per pack for 150. See, that's the only other problem. It's fireworks for me is a lot like going to a casino. It's burning my money.
Well, it wasn't so bad when I was living in El Paso. I could just go over to Mexico and pick up all the fireworks I wanted.
Yeah.
For next to nothing.
And not to mention, in fact, those are probably sketchy as hell, too.
They came in the same packaging.
Not that these ones are necessarily all that great, because we've all had that one you lit and you thought was dead, but wasn't.
Yeah.
And then a whole minute later, it just goes off and scares the shit out of you.
Or it's supposed to have a 20-second fuse, but that was a really quick 20 seconds.
Or that, yeah, like 5. And see, and if I bought any of those artillery shells, you know, the shells, I would probably go get a piece of Schedule 40 from Lowe's to shoot it instead of shoot it in that stupid cardboard tube it comes with.
What else? I miss model rocketry.
You know what? That's something I always wanted to get into, but I never did. How? And there's no reason.
It wasn't that
hard. It's not hard.
Yeah, I know. I just, like, I every so often I go look at it and I'm like, should I do it? I don't know. Is it fun?
It was when I was a kid. I don't know if it still is. I probably want to do it differently now and see if I could somehow hook a camera up to it.
Yep. I'm going to say when you do it, you need to find a big, long space. Like, because I remember when we were in Scouts, we did a model rocketry thing. Now, we were supposed to build our own, but I bought a kit for Luke that was already together. And we, of course, we got to launch it the first time, and it goes flying into the woods, and we never seen it again.
yeah. No, a couple of the rockets that I put together, and I didn't put them together all that well. They didn't. Some of them came apart in like midair. But even when they didn't, you know, you do it in the middle of a field, but it was in the middle of a field in Iowa, and there's like a grove every
and air.
Yeah, and then, you know, you wait till the wind's the right direction, and then it goes up, and the wind's the right direction down here, but it's not a little higher up, so it's in the trees.
And faster up there, too, right? Yep. That's part of my problem with them. Be neater if you can fly it up, and then when the eject charge goes off, if it can convert into a drone, that would be kind of cool. But
then you'd want it to go really, really high before it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a couple of people that made like low Earth orbit ones with Raspberry Pis to take the picture and things like that, and hoped and prayed they got it back. But that's like way too much work. A whole lot of math.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Same reason I never got into RC planes, although technically I guess I am since I got a drone.
Yeah, the old, my dad wasn't into the RC planes, but he was into the gas-powered remote control cars.
Or the string planes. Do you ever have one of those when you were a kid?
String planes.
Yeah, basically it has a like a kite string on it, and you can make it go up, you can make it go down, and it flies in a circle.
Yeah, I think I've played with one of those once as a kid, but yep. I never had one of my own.
I wonder if Cox is still around.
What? Who?
Cox. That was the company that used to make the little glow plug powered.
Well, where did you put it?
Yeah, I was gonna say Cox is a cable company down here, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yep, that's the model O, the 049 engines, control line planes.
We gotta start wrapping this up.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting late.
Joel's gotta get to bed.
I got a few hours before I go to bed.
That's almost my bedtime.
If I went to bed now, I would probably wake up at 5.
That's a good time to wake up. It lets you go for a jog and nobody's out.
No.
That's my workout time. Well, between 5 and 6:30. Whenever I want to get up now. I'm with you, Joe.
You don't jog, Joel?
No.
Or you just quit working out altogether? The gym's closed, so you're closed too.
No, I've been doing okay that way. It's actually the gym's back open. I just haven't gone. Multiple reasons. Probably the biggest reason is... Right when the gyms reopened was when the George Floyd thing happened, and they put a curfew on the whole city. That's been lifted since then, but... Yeah, but it's interesting now. See, now, my dad had the vintage gas-powered VW Beetle. Basically it's one of those little Cox engine powered things, and you would just start it and it would just, I think it would just go drive in a circle if I remember right. That's it. There was no controls on it.
Alright. Let's slap this out. Here we go. Thank you everybody.
Let's do it.
You have a good week, safe week, and happy anniversary, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Happy Father's Day to the both of you.
All of us.
Yeah. Thank you. And have a good one. Here are your promos. Take it away, Klaatu.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com. IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback at linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
I just found something out. Talk what? About model rocketry.
Yeah.
The main company, Estes, they're gone.
Where are they?
Well, they were bought by Hobbyco, and Hobbyco has since declared Chapter 11 like 2 years ago.
They must have a massive backlog of shit because they're still selling Estes stuff.
Well, then again, I just clicked on Estes rockets still exists. Let's see, they still have rockets to get.
I mean, they're still being sold on Amazon. I see that.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder if they just sold it as part of their liquidation.
Yeah, still got a website.
And it's up to date, too, because they see COVID-19 on it.
And you can order from them, apparently. I don't know. Is model rocketry safe? Yes! Unless you burn your house down. No!
Oh, how cool is this? Apparently, the main company that bought it, you know, of course, went out of business, and now it's a family. Estes is a family-run business again.
Okay.
All right, and the president's Ellis Langford, but the vice president, this is the interesting one to me, is Bill Stein, which I think he wrote a book that I read about model rocketry.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no, wait. Hold on a second. He was raised in rocketry. No, it's his dad, G. Harry Stein, who's considered the father of model rocketry. He's the one who wrote the book that I read. So his dad wrote the book, and I read it. So, which is pretty cool. You know, the one rocket model I always wanted was the Astrocam. Which, at least back in the 80s, had a 110 film camera in it.
I was going to say, it sounds like it would with the name AstroCam.
Yep. And the way it worked was at the top of its... of its arc, you know, which pretty much that's what model rockets do, is they fly an arc. It would, when the parachute charge would go off, kick out the nose cone and the parachute, the parachute's shock cord that was tied to the body of the rocket would pull the shutter on the camera. So what's funny now is now they could literally do one where you wouldn't have to buy film for it. You just put a memory card in and do that. That'd be a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to get back into it again. I always liked the either the pre-build or the... or the easy assembly ones where basically it was a tube and a fin unit and a nose cone you know, and you would glue it together. I didn't like the ones where you had to glue the fins on individually. Those were not fun.
And stop the recording.
Stop the recording. So it kind of makes it nice. You can turn it off and on.
Yeah, the Canikit ones came with a on-off switch as well.
Yep. Yep.
You still have stuff to do a shutdown, but...
Yep. What I'm thinking about doing is getting that one and maybe put that somewhere, like maybe in the kitchen or something. I don't know. Or actually, what I might do is get the Argon 1 for the Pi 4, 4G one, put that on my open media vault. Although, what I'm kind of looking for on the Pi 4, and one of the things that I'll probably talk to you a little bit more once the show starts, is I got it to boot off of USB.
Oh, with a new beta kernel?
There's a new firmware.
I want to try that, but like I said, I think I'll get the 8 first, that way, in case I bring up the 4, I still have it.
Right. Yeah, so you see, the problem is, I just did it off a 256 gig USB 3 stick I got, and it was slower than the SD card, so I'm like, yeah, no.
Well, I have an SD solid state drive in my desktop that's not being used. It's only 125, but
now debating getting a Rock Pi.
Okay.
And the Rock Pi actually has an M2 SSD slot on it.
You might have to put a little lube on that nipple because.
Move it up, baby.
Ha ha, man. Ha ha ha.
Wipe that grease on it.
You got
Pat stocking up on ammo?
I stocked up on ammo 10 years ago. I'm good.
That's what I thought.
But it was cheap.
And now it's expensive.
Yeah, you're paying about 25% higher now.
The mechanic kit is $134.95 for the 8 gig.
Yeah, the cheapest.
Is that like a kit with everything in it or something?
It's a kit, yeah. It's got the case, right. It's got the two HDMI cables, a card reader, 64 gig card.
The cheapest I can find the 3B Plus 4 on eBay is $41.99, and that's new. That's not used.
Alan, that's the one with the keyboard and mouse, right?
They have one with a keyboard and mouse. Actually, the keyboard and mouse one is actually $5 more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some odd reason. I was looking at that. That's for the 4, right? The 8 gig
Raspberry. For the 8 gig 4, yeah. That's $139. The other one without the keyboard and an extra HDMI cable is $134.
Jeez. Now, actually, for a case, actually, what would be a really cool case is if I could find a similar case to my touchscreen case I have, but with a bigger touchscreen in it. 7 inches okay, but I'd like a 10 or 15 inch would be awesome. Which is why I'm thinking about getting something like the FLIRC, or not the FLIRC, but the Argon 1, and then just get like one of those portable SCLs. Well, I actually have one. My wife's laptop.
It's got a touchscreen on it. Then you know you got it. You get one of those. There's adapters, HDMI adapters for it, and you're good to go.
But, this is interesting. The CrowPi. CrowPi Advanced Accessory Kit and Raspberry 3 Plus B Board. $349. It's got a screen. It looks like it's in a case, but it's got a screen and a whole bunch of different accessories that you can plug into it. That's kind of interesting. I'll have to find that. Listen on Popular Science website for some reason. Yeah, some of those USB-C displays are getting cheap now.
Yep.
Like, well, relatively. You know, like around 200, I think, is what I saw for one of them. But you can get better if you look hard enough. I actually read an article too about even the 32-bit Raspberry Pi OS will actually take advantage of the 8 gig of RAM because it has a PAE kernel. So instead of being 64-bit like it should be, 32-bit with extensions enabled so that you can actually use the 8 gig.
Maybe one of these days, I don't know. Maybe I'll order this tonight, I don't know.
Yeah, my favorite.
Where's Canakit ship out of?
Canada. Isn't it?
Is it Canada?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
There, drop that in the IRC, the Crow Pie. That thing looks pretty nifty.
Is that MST-3000? You dropped it in the admin channel. Hold on, I'm gonna put it in.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. It's in there.
But it's got like.
Oh wow!
Isn't that cool? It's got an LCD and a 7-segment display and push buttons and other LEDs and it's pretty neat.
Certainly, $309.
Well, I gotta think of what it is.
Oh yeah, it's so cool.
Because I think it has the. I think it actually has the Pi with it too, if I remember right.
Oh, for a second there, I thought the case was held together by like they just like wrapped up some.
It's like a suitcase.
Yeah, it looked like they took two shells and wrapped it up together with some rope. That big
clunk
in the middle there,
connector.
Yeah, I guess that's just a bunch of cables. I'm like,
yeah.
It all looks great except that part right there kind of looks, you know.
Right.
I'll accept it.
And that it's kind of. Doesn't it look freaking cool?
Yeah, it looks like one of those, like, 60-in-1 electronic kits.
It kind of does, don't it? or actually, when I was in college, we had, there was a, the technicians got them, something similar to this. It had like a breadboard on one side, an 8085A microprocessor training kit built into it. When I was in college, I actually had to build an 8085A computer. That was fun. That was not my senior level project, maybe my junior level project.
I don't know, man. Is this like I'm trying to get a good picture on this thing? Like, not a good picture, but.
It has that case plus it has earphones. It has a game controller with it, and a mini servo, a stepper motor, an RFID card.
All those things they have in there. I mean, I'm guessing is that embedded in the case, or is that
it
just
looks
laid
like
them
it.
Out onto it? Because I'm like, how are all those things connected already in there? How do you take
it
advantage
looks like
of
it? Well, it looks like it is, or if it's not, it might be just sitting in there, and then you can plug it into the breadboard. That's the only thing I can figure.
That's what I'm wondering, because some of those like look a little off, like. So it looks like somebody just packed it all in there in a way that they could.
There is a couple of videos on YouTube. I'll have to look at that a little closer because that's a nifty case. I wouldn't use that like for a day-to-day just to use the Pi as a computing device kind of case, you know, but just as an experiment, you know, to experiment, just having it around the house would probably be good. I would look at something. I like that Pi laptop thing, but I ain't spending $300 on that. Because if I'm spending $300, I'm just going to buy a laptop.
Yeah.
So, that's why I like the 7-inch touchscreen case I got actually was reasonably priced. And it gives me a lot of that functionality. And it does it.
So you have a 7-inch touch screen for the Pi?
Yes, I do.
And you have a 3D printer?
I do. I can print something. Actually, what I need to do for that is print a wall bracket for it. That would be awesome.
Well, I figured you were going to make your own pie top.
You could do that too, yeah.
Although or pie tablet.
I'd have to figure out. Actually, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea. What I could do is I'd have to find a good USB keyboard. Or not, if not USB, Bluetooth. A Bluetooth keyboard, yeah. And then just design a frame that the keyboard would fit into, and then have the what connected to the base is like a little bit like a GoPro mount. So I basically could put something like a GoPro mount on that, and then it would basically be almost a laptop.
Yeah, they do make those mini keyboards with a touchpad built in. I've just yet to find a good one. Granted, I don't spend very much money on them.
Yeah. I actually need to get another Bluetooth. I'd like to get a Bluetooth, full-on Bluetooth keyboard with a trackpad for this, because the only one I have is my K400 that uses a USB dongle, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, I think I have the same one, the K400. Yep. That's the one with the touchpad on the side, right?
Yep, it worked well.
I had a lot of problems with the universal or
the little dongle.
The dongle, yeah, overheating.
Really?
And not working.
That happen.
With my Pi 4, it was the only time I really had that problem. So I had
That's
to
weird.
Get an extender to extend it out, and then it worked perfectly. It's still working perfectly. It's hooked up
That's
now.
That's weird.
Hey, yeah. Hey, hold on a second, Joe. Can we start the show? Because this is really good stuff. And we're leaving it for the end of the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joe. Great stuff.
Say, shut your pie hole, Joe.
Yeah, stuff. Joe, shut your hole, man.
Shut your pie hole. I'm going to stuff mine with some Dots pretzels.
Bet you are.
Southwest style, too.
Okay, start the show.
Yes, hold on.
3, 2, 1.
Hold on.
Go!
Go! I got sidetracked in. Okay. Okay. Wait, what? Oh. Okay. Give me a count around.